Welcome to the Early Accountability Podcast hosted by Kimmy Walker. Kimmy has a track record of serving as a behavior change and improvement catalyst for individuals, groups, and organizations. Get ready to make the best version of yourself a priority. Now welcome Kimmy Walker.
Kimmy Walker here, and welcome to the next episode of the Early Accountability Podcast. Today, our guest is Bianca Jackson, who is the owner of Jax Digital. She is definitely a guru on LinkedIn. She has amassed over 32,000 followers, and she does speakings and trainings to teach others how they can use LinkedIn to help level themselves up or just create a stronger brand for themselves in the whole virtual and digital world. So, Bianca, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Kimmy.
You're welcome. Why don't you start just by telling the audience a little bit about you, your services, how you became so huge on LinkedIn, and kind of how you got to where you're at today with helping others grow their brands as well.
Well, I can probably start this off with probably the most simplest way. I just stopped caring what people would think. I decided that, you know, I was going to leave my corporate job and really start building my business. So a couple of years ago, I had like a career coaching thing that I was doing. And that was my side hustle while I worked. And then one day I decided that I wanted to leave my job. And one of the fastest ways to get more clients to really grow my business was using a social media platform. And at the time, a lot of people were using Facebook. And I just like, you know what, let me try using something else. Let me use LinkedIn, because everything I tried on Facebook just didn't work for me. And I did a bunch of research, watched a bunch of webinars, paid for some products. And altogether, I just found the secret sauce that worked for me. I really started talking about those things that people were too afraid to talk about in a quote unquote professional setting. So talking about the things that you really think about, like, you know, my boss steals my ideas, or I really wish that they would improve their hiring process or interview. It takes forever to get a job. Like, so all these things that people normally have conversations with their friends and their families about, I brought those topics and openly discussed them on LinkedIn. And I talked about why I left my job and it was just time to go. And, you know, just really wanting to do something for myself. So really talking to people's true pains and true frustration helped me to amass what I went from, what, 1,200 connections to about 30,000 in a year. Because I really start saying the things that people wish they could say. But now I guess I was like that mouthpiece for them. So that's literally how it happened. And I mean, as far as services, I help job seekers and I help companies. So I help job seekers find kind of like the work that they want, going to the companies that they want, and how to set themselves up to be seen as the expert that they want to be seen as. And similarly for companies, I really help them figure out who to target, how to target them on LinkedIn, and what to say about themselves, and really bring in the clients that they want. So a lot of my clients are, you know, solopreneurs, small businesses who want to, you know, use LinkedIn as a way of growing their client pipeline.
How important do you feel storytelling is, especially on a platform like LinkedIn, where people might have a perception that it's more professional? I shouldn't talk on here like I talk on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. What is your view on that?
I think it depends. I mean, some industries are more forgiving than others. So I would say just go with your comfort level. I think that there's something to be said about storytelling and being uniquely yourself, because when you're yourself, you're like no one else. You stand out. So depending on how comfortable you feel, your industry, I know like for people in financial services, they got a lockdown on everything. You can really do very little. And if you work for the government, probably the same thing. But if you're in a creative space, if you're in IT, you can pretty much, I personally believe that you can pretty much be who you are. And I would highly suggest that you do that. Storytelling is a way of standing out when everyone else is being boring. There's only so many profiles that I want to read of. I've been a professional and I've done this for 14 years and here are my specialties. Now tell me about the time where you fell in love with your industry, your passion. Like from time to time, I tell people like how I got into tech. It started when I was 10. And you know, that story was on my profile at one point in time. Now I talk about my love for storytelling and how I use storytelling as a way of helping other people really connect to draw in their targets. Like there's nothing better than not having to work so hard to get people to want to work with you. It feels so good when you're just able to attract the right people. And that's why I say storytelling is really important. It's like authentically put out the things that you believe in, your mission, why you do the things that you do. Talk about your work in such a way that is so engaging that people can't wait to hear more. You running down the 14 years and you went from this department to that department, that's just, I'm sorry, it's drab and boring. Like I just yawn every time that someone wants to tell me a story like that. I'm like, okay, tell me about the time that, you know, you ran into a president in the hallway while you're at your university because you happen to work for like the policy department or you're helping put together a program. Like, tell me something that's going to like really, you know, perk up my interest.
Are there any differences or different ways you should, I guess, market or brand yourself on LinkedIn if you are a job seeker versus like a freelancer or a solopreneur or entrepreneur? Are there any kind of differences you feel like people should know of in that area?
Yes. And I'm not sure if I'll be able to adequately explain it in this amount of time that we have, but I would say as a job seeker who wants to stay in their industry, right? So you got to show your past performance. You got to show people that you're competent and you're knowledgeable about the things that you say you're knowledgeable about. That goes across the board, right? But then there are some additional things when it comes to freelancers, when it comes to small business owners. It's, you know, not only do you have to prove past performance, but you got to actually like show your work, right? Like people aren't going to just take your word. I think there's a little bit more leniency. Like as a job seeker, when you go into a job interview, they want to see your resume and that's it. Depending on some jobs, they want to see your portfolio. Whereas when you're a freelancer, they want to hear about past client success, you know, what results you got them. They want to make sure that they actually like you and want to work with you. I mean, and some of that still kind of applies to job seekers, but it's way more important for freelancers and small business owners. And that's why I say, especially when it comes to storytelling, that's where you can stand out above your competitors of coming across really relatable. Like I actually just did a conference where I spoke on stage in front of a really huge group of marketing executives. And this was the first time that I ever had this type of audience. And I made sure that I stayed down to earth, or I tried to stay as down to earth as possible. I use words and vernacular like I would use in talking to my friends. And when I got off stage, people said, oh my God, this was great, great. You were so relatable. I would love to have you come to another conference. Whereas when you see people in person and versus when you see them online, sometimes they seem like two completely different people. And that's why I say it's really important to just really be yourself and share the stories that make you authentic, share the stories that make you relatable to other people so that they feel comfortable coming up and talking to you and potentially getting you to do work. So, I mean, storytelling is big for everybody, but it's very important for freelancers and small business owners.
What kind of things, or I guess a big one I hear a lot, especially even myself as an entrepreneur, is I don't want to come off too salesy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a big one. Well, all right, so give me an example of like where you heard that and I can kind of respond.
I mean, I could just even use myself personally. Like, okay. I don't want to keep posting about this product or service because I feel like I'm harassing people or badgering them, or mm-hmm. I feel like I'm just sounding salesy. Like, oh, mm-hmm. you should come buy this service from me, or you should come to, you know, this. So are there ways to get past that hurdle? Or
yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So one of my favorite people that I follow is a really cool, funny copywriter by the name of Ben Settle. And, you know, I signed up for his daily email list. Literally, he emails you every day. And in the email, he writes in story form. So it's like you're entertained by the information that's in there. It's like he calls it infotainment. So like not only are you learning something or it's challenging a way that you think about something, it's entertaining in a way. And then at the end of the email, there's a link to a website to buy tips or to buy a book or to buy something that helps you get better at copywriting. So one of the things that he loves to say is that don't email your list like a booty call, right? Like don't always email them something. Only email them when you have something to sell. Like email them when you just want to share something, or you can always sell something in your email, but it doesn't come off salesy. for me, I do a combination of that plus I just randomly share thoughts, things that I see that, you know, really challenges my thinking. So that whenever I do post something about a product or a service, it doesn't feel like, oh, Bianca's always trying to push something down my throat. Like, I'm literally sharing parts of my life that I feel comfortable with. Like, even today, I wrote something funny and silly about seeing my childhood crush. I did this on Facebook. I didn't do this on LinkedIn. About seeing my childhood crush. And I'm glad that, you know, nothing happened because he looks a hot mess now. And I was talking about how I dodged a bullet and how, you know, dads are the best because my dad told him to stay the hell away from me when I was like 18. So, you know, people laughed about that. But these are the stories, right? I share another one today on like Facebook and also Instagram about how I rode past my childhood school. And I recall, so going from funny to like something more serious and more like self-love in a sense. So recounting the story of when I was bullied when I was a kid at 10. And how I was so proud of myself of one, how I dealt with the pain of being bullied. Two, how I forgave the young lady who bullied me because she was a hurt kid, hurting another hurt kid, right? And then also talked about how I became my number one fan. So kind of like, you know, sharing these different parts of me that, you know, I feel comfortable sharing with in these different platforms so people can kind of see a well-rounded me and not just the Bianca who has the business, who wants to always sell them something. And then I do have an email list that I email out and I write stories to. There's a combination of, you know, things I see at conferences, connections that I make with people over LinkedIn. So I told one story one time about how I targeted a woman who works for a really popular publication in the US. And I had been following her profile. I connected with her. We hadn't had an official conversation just yet. And like, I knew so much about her. And I went to a conference that she was at. She was on the stage. She was facilitating a few of the panels. It just worked out by the grace of God that I literally was sitting next to her in the hotel bar. So I went in full, like, not recon mode, but I kind of played it off like, hey, aren't you such and such? And she was like, yeah, I'm so sorry. I look a mess. I spilled something on my shirt. And I was like, oh, don't worry about it. You were great on the panel today. I said, I think we've been connected on LinkedIn for a while. We were talking about the conference and I was like, hey, she had asked me my opinion about the conference. And I told her, I said, to be quite honest, I said, I think there's some work that you guys need to do as far as being able to attract a younger audience because right now your demographic's older. And she goes, oh my God, I love everything. Keep on talking. So by the end of the conversation, she bought me a drink. She gave me her office number. And I'm just like, okay, so all this came from one, me knowing who she was, me being connected to her on LinkedIn, showing up to an event that I knew she was going to be at. And then just randomly, we happened to sit next to each other in the bar. So I shared that story with my email list. And I think I also shared it on LinkedIn. And it's just like, you know, you got to share these types of things in a way, kind of promoting yourself as a brand, as a person, but then also promoting your services. So with those three different examples, I showed you like, a side of me, a relatable personal side. Everyone at some point has dealt with bullying, right? Right. There's one part of you that someone's had a crush on somebody and you know, they look a hot mess later in life. So that's funny, right? And then like really giving you tangible advice of how you can use a platform like LinkedIn to really get to the decision makers and the people that you really want to talk to get you in the door. So bam, I hit you with services and I made it, you know, kind of cool way of an explaining how you can use the platform to say, hey, if you want to learn from me how to do this, then you can contact me and we can get working. So like, I just try to be as well-rounded, like 360 in a sense, of really promoting myself as a brand because I want to attract the people who like me, like my personality. So I'm not sitting there like, oh my God, this is the worst client ever. Like I really would like to repel the people who don't want to work with me and won't like me really fast. Mm. I want to attract the people who are going to like me, love me, and want to talk to other people about hiring me really fast. So I'm all about like repel fast, attract fast.
So you don't focus too much on the people who like unsubscribe or unfollow. You don't?
No. Why? No. The funny thing is that I would rather for you unsubscribe because that means that you were never going to purchase from me anyway.
Wow.
So no, I don't pay attention to that. Like having a list of, let's just say right now, my list is 1,800 people on my email list. And if half those people unsubscribe, that's good because I'm saving money on the amount of email addresses that I'm paying for.
Right.
But the other half are people are like, oh my God, I love Bianca. She's so entertaining. I just want to stay on the list because at some point I know I'm going to need help with something, even if I'm not ready right now. And sending out emails pretty frequently and sending all types of emails out and not just the ones where you're selling stuff helps people feel like they know you, that you start building this relationship with you. Even if they haven't officially like written you back or replied to any of your messages, they feel like they know you. And I've gotten people where I've sent out messages where they, you know, would send reply back to me. And I write them back. I try to like, you know, cut down on the amount of people who write me because that's 1,800 people. Like I wouldn't want everybody to reply back to every message that I sent. But for the ones who do reply, I do write them back. So again, I think that don't worry about unsubscribes. Don't worry about people not opening it. Hopefully at some point, the ones who aren't opening it will unsubscribe at some point in time. Like people pay too much attention to the metrics when it comes to email. What they really should be paying attention to is the sales, right? Or the views to your website, things like that, where, you know, there's some type of engagement, you know, they're making your PayPal go ding, like that's what you should be paying attention to. So, you know, when it comes to being salesy, like just find a way that you can share more about yourself and what's going on. And even if you can just give them free resources, and the resources could literally be something on your website. Like, hey guys, I just put up this new blog post. And if anyone's looking for, you know, the top 10 tips on XYZ, bam, here you go. I just wanted to, you know, let you know it was there just in case you are having this problem right now versus, hey, sign up for, you know, my 10-day boot camp and you're sending it out, you know, for a whole month every day. Like people are going to get tired of that, right? So like if you mix it up, you can still put your link to have people sign up for your boot camp, but you got to change the messaging, right? So give me an example of like a product or a service that you sell.
Actually, it's funny you said 10 days. I do a 10-day workout challenge that's free under my fitness and wellness brand, Kimmy Fitwell.
Okay.
But I use that kind of as a lead magnet to get people to join my 90-day lifestyle group coaching.
Okay.
But a lot of people don't want to do the 90 days. I know personally, just from experience, that's where we're really going to be able to make some changes.
Okay. Yeah. 90 days is a lot for a lot of people who don't like working out. I'm one of those people. I would rather dance all day than work out. But what I would say though, I mean, in your 10-day challenge, I mean, maybe even changing the messaging around that, right? So talking about different exercises that are good for back pain, right? So when you try to sell something, I always tell people you always want to go for like some type of fear, some frustration or a pain that people are having, because that's what people are motivated by.
Right.
If you can make their lives easier, if you can take something away, if you can help them solve a problem, they pay for pains or for issues to go away. People don't necessarily want to pay for like, hey, you're going to lose 10 pounds. They'll pay for like, you want that banging summer body? I just might.
Right.
So, like it's all about messaging. And then the other thing too is with your free stuff, what you could do is offer a paid product. So, hey, sign up for, not hey, sign up. You know, we're starting our 10-day workout challenge. I would love for all of you to be there. And by the way, download my ebook with food recipes, right?
Yeah.
The ebook could be whatever dollar amount that you have. But, you know, it's kind of like this 2-for-1 deal. Like you're getting free advice or coaching around working out. But then you also get, you know, these recipes that, you know, your recipe book could be lots of pages, right? 50, 100, 200 pages, whatever, however long it could be. But, you know, at least you'll be making something off that challenge, right? So there's ways that, again, you just got to change the messaging and kind of like change the value in people's minds. Again, no one's going to pay to lose 20 pounds, but they're going to pay for those rock solid abs though.
Right.
Or that donkey booty, the stallion booty and all that. So it's just like, you just gotta change the messaging.
Okay, this is really good, Bianca. So I have a question. So I know for me and some of my other colleagues that I've been in like mastermind groups and things like that, our ideal client, and you touched on this earlier and I wanted to come back on it, you weren't really getting the bite from Facebook.
Right.
I know my ideal client typically is not a Facebook person. For some of my other services that I do.
Right.
Talk more about your growth, because I think you kind of brushed over it. And that's an amazing thing. How many followers did you say you started with on LinkedIn?
oh, 1200, like before I really start putting work into it, it's like, all right, how do I go from looking at this as I'm just trying to get a job or, you know, stay connected to recruiters to like, I really need this to be the platform where I get my business. And then I had a completely mindset about it. I found the intersection between what professionals who would be my clients would want from kind of like a career coach. And I found that intersection. And then I just stayed in that lane and I just wrote content about it. I connected with people that I thought would be of service to them. So like, let's say for instance, I have a client who comes on for a 3-month program who wants a new job. I need to make sure who I have in my network are people who are recruiters. I need to make sure I have HR professionals. So all these ancillary people that are going to help my client get to their goal faster, that's who I need to build my network with. So think about your own business the same way, right? So you have a client who, you know, let's just say they sign on because they want to fit in their wedding dress. What other people do you need to be connected with so that when you help them lose the weight, they can, I don't know, deal with maybe if they have like excess skin, right? Mm-hmm. So who can help them with that? Who do you have in your network that's going to help them with the psychological change of, you know, being 20, 30, 40 pounds lighter? Because even though you lose the weight, there's a lot of people who have been big and they get small and still in their minds, they still think they're big, right?
Right.
So yes. I know you personally, or you may not do that as a service, but being connected to psychologists, psychiatrists who can help people with dealing with being smaller would be good to have in your network. So it's just like building your network around that. So that's pretty much what I started to do. And then I talked about all their pains and then I helped them kind of move along the continuum to get to their goal. So I would say look at it as the same way.
To gain more followers, you were connecting with people? Like, were you like commenting or do you?
Girl, I was on this thing like it was Facebook. And I'm glad that I did it because I switched all my attention that I was doing on Facebook that was not getting me anywhere, right? Because on Facebook is a different type of beast. Facebook, people are like, I don't want to connect with you unless we went to school together, unless right. you became family member, unless you know, whatever, right?
Right.
And LinkedIn is a different mindset because people are here because one, they want to advance their careers, or two, they want to grow their businesses. And then underneath growing your business and, you know, advancing your career is networking, right? So people are way more open to networking. So there are some people who are just like open networkers. They call themselves Lions, LION, LinkedIn Open Networker. I don't know who made that acronym up. I think, you know, that's kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. But these are people who will connect with anybody anywhere. So like you send a connection, they'll just go ahead and accept it. Then there's people who are like, well, I'm really private about my network. It's professionally and personally cultivated or curated. That's the word that I'm looking for. That unless I've met you, I'm not adding you, right? So you have those people, which is totally fine. So that's why I say, you know, when you're building your business, be open to being a lion, being open to connecting with anybody. And of course, if anyone gets crazy, they start doing anything crazy, you can always block them. But be open to having other connections, even if you don't quite know what the relationship or the connection is going to bring you just yet. You just never know. You can always go back and remove them or block them, like I said. And then, you know, getting out to conferences. So this is the biggest thing that I've done is that at conferences now, I purposely do not take business cards. When I speak on stage, I always put like a note up there and I also say this is like, please feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn. And this does a couple of different things, right? So think about it like this. I give a presentation, it's 30 minutes to 60 minutes. I get up there and I do what I think is a good job, right? I put my name up there, say, hey, connect with me on LinkedIn. Who's connecting me on LinkedIn? The people who liked my presentation. These are warm leads.
Mm. Right.
So that's what I do. And people are like, oh my God, you don't have any cards. When I had cards, I'm going to be honest. I had one person who I can remember off bat that, you know, contacted me several months later and said, hey, Bianca, we met at such and such. I had your card. My daughter needs your help. Okay, cool. Ever since I've had cards, other cards, I've never had that conversation with anyone. It's like, hey, I met you somewhere. I heard you speak. So-and-so told me about you. So I went to your website to check you out. So a lot of it is like referral. You know, some people see me on LinkedIn. It's like, oh, my 10 friends follow you. So I'm going to follow you too. And I think the other important thing to mention here is that on LinkedIn, take advantage of the first person connections and the second person connections. So think about it like this in real life. We're more than likely to connect or talk to someone that we know our friends know or is associated with a friend of ours. And LinkedIn works the same way. So if you look at my profile and you go to connect with me and you're like, oh, sheesh, like she's connected to like 63 of my connections. You're like, okay, yeah, I'm going to accept it. Versus like this person has 5 people that they're connected to. They don't know nobody. There's nothing on their profile. Is this a spam robot? Are they going to start sending me emails? So that's why I think it's really important, especially for business owners, small business owners, that just be open to connecting to anybody. But of course, if you see those profiles that have like 10 people on it, you're not too sure about it, you know, you can ignore that. But like, if you see people who have like significant job titles or, you know, they're in your target market, or even if they're not in your target market and you're just like, I really don't want to deal with that, that's okay too. But be open to connecting with people you don't quite know, because you can always follow that up. Or even before you accept their connection request, send them a message like, hey, thanks for the connection request. You know, what has you reaching out? And then if they reply, sometimes they'll say, oh, I was checking out your profile because of X, Y, and Z. And depending on their response, you can decide if you want to accept their connection request or not. But I would say be more open. Don't look at LinkedIn as Facebook, because it's not. And it's a really great way to grow your business. If you want to grow your business, you can keep on treating LinkedIn like Facebook if you want to. And then you'd be crying about, I don't have anybody in my pipeline. Yeah, no, man. Like, that's just crazy.
This is good. So how can people, I know you said LinkedIn. So yeah. How can people connect with you, find out more about your services? I know I'm going to be utilizing them, and I'm going to just know what and what services do you offer? Because you know your stuff.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I mean, it's been a long ways. Well, first of all, the first way is definitely to connect with me on LinkedIn. I really would prefer that, because the connection stays there for as long as until either one of us decides that we don't want to be connected anymore. I think that's the best way for me, because you can start the conversation with me there. The second way is definitely my website. There's a contact form on there. It goes straight to my email, and I'll get to it as soon as I can. But I would highly suggest going to LinkedIn and just sending me a message. Now, as far as services, it really just depends on your need. Like I said, I've kind of like mastered this from a job seeker point of view, because I used to get recruiters sending me opportunities all the time. And now is, you know, working with small business owners, I've dealt with a handful of them. So I've seen a range of issues that they've been facing, from, you know, trying to figure out what types of messages to send to people to actually get them to respond. That seems to be a big one. How to, you know, increase their conversion rates of responses, how to set up their profiles in a way that it makes people like, oh my God, I need to talk to this person like ASAP. I tell people all the time is that you want to convince someone that they want to work with you before they even get you on the phone. Because everyone hates the dreaded discovery call, the sales call, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like you're sitting there like, well, this is what I do. This is how I can help you. Like, no, I want to get on the phone with the person that's like, all right, I've been on your website. I read your recommendations. I've been all over your LinkedIn profile. I talked to my mama about you. Like, I want that person. It's like, all right, you've done your research already. So like, now just tell me your problem and I'll let you know if I can help you or not. And probably most of the time, I'm not going to say most of the time, probably a good 90, 95% of the time, I can help people with their LinkedIn issues. It's really not that difficult, at least in my eyes. But I know it seems to be this nebulous type of tool that people still haven't been able to figure out. So I'm here to help.
Awesome. So Bianca J. Jackson on LinkedIn.
Yep.
Bianca, what's your daily mantra? What's a quote or quotes that you live by that keep you pushing forward on this journey you're on?
Well, that is a really great story. It's actually on my LinkedIn profile and my website, that those who tell the stories rule the world. And it's a Hopi American Indian proverb. Whereas when you think about when someone's trying to sell you, pitch you, or anything, right? If someone comes straight out with it, you're just like, oh, okay, I get it. And if you're not really that interested, you're not going to be that interested. But if you are, you're like, okay, let's do this. But, you know, if someone tells you a story, they just draw you in. And even think when you were a kid, talking with your elders, your grands, and they tell you stories and they tell you stories for hours, you're sitting at their feet because you're just waiting for the next thing. And even if the moral of the story is 5 words or a few phrases long, you've sat there for a whole 3, 4, 5, even a whole day because you're so enthralled by the story. I honestly believe that storytelling is the way, especially now, to stand out in such boring marketing that people are doing, you know, when they're trying to get clients. So right now, that is what I'm standing by. Those who tell the stories rule the world.
Well, thank you so much again, Bianca J. Jackson on LinkedIn, Jax Digital LLC, but definitely hit her up on LinkedIn first. Thank you so much for your time. And we really appreciate you coming here and gracing the audience with all your knowledge on the Early Accountability Podcast.
Well, again, thanks for having me, Kimmy.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
It was a pleasure to have you join us on this episode of the Early Accountability Podcast with Kimmy Walker. Be sure to visit earlyaccountability.com to sign up for the Early Accountability newsletter. We look forward to activating your greatness and helping you reach your goals.